If you are just returning from your summer vacation, let me announce that I have begun a new series of sermons titled The Unsung Heroes and Heroines of the Bible, looking at all the little people on the pages of Scripture that we probably overlook or at least look over when we're reading about the major people of the Bible. But these little people are here, and I, for one, believe that God's Spirit has inspired the Scriptures to include them. And so, what are the lessons that they have for us? Because, after all, most of us are little people, too. And so today's second lesson is an addendum to what we heard from the book of Numbers in the first lesson regarding Hobab. Hear the word of the Lord. After the death of Joshua, the Israelites inquired of the Lord, "Who shall go up first for us against the Canaanites to fight against them?" The Lord said, "Judah shall go up. I hereby give the land into his hand." Judah said to his brother Simeon, "Come up with me into the territory allotted to me, that we may fight against the Canaanites. Then I too will go with you into the territory allotted to you." So Simeon went with him. Then Judah went up, and the Lord gave the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hand, and they defeated 10,000 of them at Bezek. And now Judges chapter 1, verse 16. The descendants of Hobab, the Kenite, Moses' father-in-law, went up with the people of Judah from the city of Palms into the wilderness of Judah, which lies in the Negev near Arad. Then they went and settled with the Amalekites. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. Lord, tell us what we need to hear and show us what we ought to do to obey your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In my home, many years ago, Labor Day was a really big deal. On the first Monday in September, my mother would pack a huge picnic hamper, and we would set off for Tucker's Grove, lovely oak-studded park set in a small canyon just west of Santa Barbara. You see, my father was a tinsmith, and at Tucker's Grove, every Labor Day, the Sheet Metal Workers Union came to celebrate. I remember gunny sack races and the egg toss and lots of other games, followed by hot dogs and hamburgers and potato salad and all the watermelon you could eat. My father was proud of what he did, and Labor Day gave him an opportunity to celebrate his work. Now, sadly, not everyone is enthusiastic about their work. There was a sign in a San Francisco florist shop which read, "If you don't believe in the resurrection of the dead, you ought to be here 5 minutes before quitting time." You did a lot better than the 9 o'clock service this morning. Then, of course, there are those people whose brain wakes up and begins to work the minute they get up, and it keeps working until they get to the office. And there are some employers here, I suppose, who can resonate with that. All joking aside, work, if it is honest and honorable, is service to God, as sacred as your prayers. Mechanics who keep our cars in good repair ensure that neither we nor others will be injured. And that is surely God's work. The next time you stand in a checkout lane in the grocery store, remember that we might well starve were it not for those who drive semis full of food. Men and women who stock the shelves, and others who bag our groceries, they too are doing God's work. John Garner, former Secretary of Health, Education, and Welfare, once spoke up in praise of plumbers. An excellent plumber, he said, is infinitely more valuable than an incompetent philosopher. The society which scorns excellence in plumbing because it is a humble activity and tolerates shoddiness in philosophy because it is an exalted activity will have neither good plumbing nor good philosophy. Neither their pipes nor their theories will hold water. So let us thank God for people who keep the water running in our homes, for those who respond so quickly to our medical emergencies, to men and women who work in legislative bodies, who publish good literature, who keep the information highway humming for us, because whether they know it or not, they are doing God's work. And occasionally, every once in a while, life taps us on the shoulder and beckons us to do some new work. Something entirely unexpected. Something in addition to what we're already doing, or something instead of what we are already doing. That's what happened to Hobab. Hobab just comes out of nowhere in the scriptures. From all we can tell, he was a relative of Moses. Undoubtedly, he had spent his life in the desert through which the Hebrew people were now marching on their way to the Promised Land. And so Moses, as they have this family reunion, urges Hobab to accompany them on their march to the Promised Land. But I have to tell you that his appeal sounds a little like all those free vacation offers that clog up our email inboxes. Listen to what Moses said. We're setting out for the place of which the Lord said, I will give it to you. Come with us and we will treat you well, for the Lord has promised good to Israel. In other words, we're on our way to the land of milk and honey. It's downhill all the way. And Hobab, if you play your cards right, you'll be a millionaire within a year. Well, I suspect Hobab had heard offers like that many times before, and so he refused, point blank. I will not go with you. I will go back to my own land and to my kindred. Now, like Hobab, I am suspicious of offers that promise gain without pain and wealth without work. And I am especially wary when someone invites me to take on some new assignment and assures me that it really won't take up much of my time. Last time I accepted an invitation like that, I gave up scores of days off to attend four times as many meetings as I was led to expect, and all of them at a distance, which meant I spent far more time in a jet airplane than I spent in the committee meetings. Let's be honest when we invite people to serve. Let's lay it on the line, because in my experience, people respond more readily to a tough challenge when you raise the bar than to some trivial offer that assures them that it really won't cost them anything. Moses apparently got the message because he changed his approach the second time around. Listen to what he says now. Do not leave us, for you know where we should camp in the wilderness, and you will serve as eyes for us. Now you see, it's not what Israel can do for Hobab, it is what Hobab can do for Israel. We need you, Hobab. You know where to find water in this wilderness. You know where to find grass for our flocks and shade and wonderful places to camp. Hobab, we need you. Do not leave us. Now, the book of Numbers doesn't say whether Hobab signed on or not, but in this brief comment in the book of Judges, we learn that Hobab's descendants are now living with the children of Israel in the promised land. And they are there because, without a doubt, Hobab did take the job. And the Israelites are so grateful for his keen eyes and for the guidance that he gave them wandering through the wilderness that they now give his descendants a piece of the promised land. My question to you this morning is, how can you use your eyes and your ears and your hands and your mind in some perhaps brand new, unexpected work for your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Is it possible, for example, that you can take a break from your profession to serve as a short-term missionary? I think of our young people in this congregation who gave up their vacation time this summer to serve in the Dominican Republic. I think of my friend Wouter Bosch, who gave up a month of his medical practice in Tacoma, Washington, to go out and treat patients in a Presbyterian hospital in Zaire, and a couple of years later in Sri Lanka. I think of Dr. Bob Fortune, a world-renowned pediatric heart surgeon who travels to Miraj, India, to teach surgical techniques to the staff at Wanless Hospital. Now, these are busy people. These are committed people. These are people who have obligations all over the map, and yet God tapped them on the shoulder. And God said, I have something new for you to do, something unexpected for you to do. There are people who need your eyes and your hands and your talents and your expertise. And so, like Hobab, they cleared their calendars. They left the comforts of home and went off to serve in ways that they had never, ever imagined. While waiting for allergy shots one day, I picked up a well-known travel magazine. And it contained a long interview with Jimmy Carter while he was building Habitat for Humanity homes in the Philippines. Now, I have to tell you that this magazine doesn't usually devote space to humanitarian causes. In fact, the feature article that month was the hot spots for the rich and the famous, you know, the great hotels and the great restaurants in London and Paris and Rome. And so I wasn't surprised when I began to read this article about Jimmy Carter that the interviewer referred to him early on as the do-gooder ex-president of the United States of America. And that sort of set my teeth on edge right away. And then there followed some snippets of ridicule, as though any thinking person would never stoop to spend a week building homes for poor Filipino families. But then the mood changed. In order to get an insider's view of what was going on there, this interviewer strapped on a tool belt and went to work. A couple of days later, he climbed a tall scaffold to look out over the 130 homes that were being built that week. And here's what he wrote. It brings tears to my eyes to simply be a part of it. And at the end of the week, when Jimmy Carter handed the keys to the new owners of the home that reporter had been working on, he said there were tears in the president's eyes and in his. What happened to that reporter? Eyes that had been trained only to see the luxuries of life now saw the underside of life. A heart that had been impervious to poverty softened as he worked alongside a poor but honest Filipino family in the building of that family's home. And so hands that had once penned ridicule now happily pounded nails. The result? A poor Filipino family got a new home. And a cynical reporter got a new heart. Now, you don't have to fly to the Philippines or to Zaire. If with Hobab you have eyes to see, a heart to care, and hands to serve, next door will do just fine.